results. A Florida teenager won a $10,000 prize, 19 years old, during a 10-day competition that was created to increase awareness about the threats that pythons pose to the state's ecology. How many pythons did he capture? 28 Burmese pythons, a 19-year-old did. This is a 19-year-old South Florida man.
This has been a 25-year problem that started with people buying them and then, oh, I'll just release it in the Everglades.
Yeah, over turn it loose in the wild,
and,
right?
And thinking they're doing the right thing. Well, it's people that are down there, really, they have a problem because it's coming into areas that are now being built up, and these snakes are a problem.
And so now they're having to go hunting them. And Matthew Concepcion was among the 1,000 participants from 32 states, Canada, and Latvia, for some reason, who participated in the annual challenge, which removed 231 unwanted pythons out of the air, according to the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission said. For his efforts, he was awarded a $10,000 ultimate grand prize, courtesy of the Bergeron Everglades Foundation. Earlier this year, a team of biologists hauled in the heaviest Burmese python ever captured in Florida. That was a female who weighed 215 pounds, nearly 18 feet long, and had 122 developing eggs. Just add to that, right?
I'm telling you, that's worse than Sweetwater for when they have the rattlesnake roundup.
Yes, there you go. Now, Burmese pythons aren't protected except by Florida's anti-cruelty law, so the participants had to document that each one was killed humanely.
Right.
And Concepcion told the South Florida Sun Sentinel he's been hunting pythons for about 5 years, since he was 14, Snoop! He's been hunting pythons. And he typically looks for them at night because that's when they're on the move, seeking the warmth of roads. He uses his vehicle lights to spot them. I'm sure you probably heard this before, Keith. I heard it said to me before I went down to Florida once back in the days when I was covering the Rangers and was going over for a spring training game over in Fort Lauderdale, I think. And I was told, whatever you do, do not drive the Everglades Parkway at night, I-75, called Alligator Alley, nicknamed that. Not because of alligators, but they said if you're going on the interstate, your car is constantly going like it does on the road when it hits all those bumps. Ba-boom, 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 ba-boom. It's not bumps. Snakes.
Yeah.
You're running over snakes. Ba-boom, 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 ba-boom. All through.
All types of snakes.
Yeah. Indiana Jones would not approve.
No, it would not. So they're out there in the Everglades, and apparently this 19-year-old young man captured 28 Burmese pythons out of that. Something Snoop would not be into.
Well, he was made for it. I mean, this is his calling in life.
Snoop, I'm glad somebody's calling us that.
Yeah.
I mean, I like to be outside, but y'all can have the snakes.
Snoop, I know that you and Jeff brought it up the other day, the return of the McRib.
Yes.
Okay. It's widespread everywhere starting Monday.
Right. But it's in the Northwest, right?
NCSCB has found one. I saw a woman eating one yesterday.
So they're here.
They're here. They're around the area. So, Snoop, McRib this weekend?
You know it.
Yeah.
Yep. Westlake here. Westlake McDonald's here I come.
You know, I thought somebody was bringing them in at 11. That's why I'm here.
That would have been good. That would have worked.
I should have went and got a three.
No, it's not too late.
Got one more Florida man story for you here. Florida man in Miami was accused of a series of crimes that reportedly ended with police chasing him down I-95 as he was occupying a stolen scooter he went down I-95. Now, according to an NBC Miami report, an arrest report said Roberto Duggins, age 30, approached a woman riding a motorized scooter this past Wednesday morning. Duggins reportedly told the woman to get off the bike or he would hurt her. She told police that when she remained silent, he came closer and he whispered and asked her if she knew English. She then pushed him away. He tried to hit her on the head, but she was wearing a helmet. So then he grabbed the scooter, and he took off. He hit a car in the process. Then he went and stole laundry detergent from a CVS. We are talking about a Florida man, right? He was spotted by an officer later that day. Police said they went to get him. He jumped on the scooter, was running away from him, and got on I-95 on a scooter. You want a conveyance with a little more giddy-up, I would imagine.
I think so.
He was arrested about 8 miles from where officers found him. Earlier that evening, he was identified as the person who stole the woman's scooter. By the way, 30 years of age, never issued a driver's license. He's charged with robbery and carjacking, even though it's a scooter.
Right.
Scooter jacking. Fleeing and eluding police. No valid driver's license. And 2 counts of leaving the scene of a crash with property damage. You might say he checked all the boxes.
Yes,
with
he
a
did.
Scooter.
He tried everything.
Did about as much
assaulted.
Damage as you could
I didn't
do.
See assault. There's got to be assault. He hit the woman in the top of the helmet. Even though she's got a helmet on, there's got to be an assault charge.
Yeah, absolutely. For some reason, that wasn't on there. Maybe they'll tack that onto it. All right. There's hour number one. We've got hour number two. Keith Moreland in studio with us for the second hour here of Light the Tower on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. We're live, local, and digital right here on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. Second hour of Light the Tower on the Horn. Craig Way, Snoop Daniel alongside. Jeff Howell will be rejoining me on Monday from the UT campus when we bring you Coach Sark's weekly news conference. That'll be on Monday. Keith Moreland in with us here, stepping in today. And we're going to get his thoughts on the World Series, which begins tonight. And it'll begin in Houston with the Philadelphia Phillies and the Houston Astros, and Keith with a special connection to that. So we'll get that coming up in a few minutes. Also, we have our Supreme Lending Pick'em picks that Jeff and Snoop have made. We're going to get to that momentarily. But we didn't have time to get to it with the crowded first hour we have, so we've got two of them this hour. Longhorn Notebooks.
Longhorn Notebook.
First one brought to you by Aaron Bowersock, the home loan expert. See if Aaron can do for you what she did for Linda and me, and that's to help us get that home loan approval turned around just like that. 10 days or less, the guarantee. Check her out on the web at bowersockteam.com. B-O-W-E-R-S-O-C-K. Bowersockteam.com. So the Longhorn football team, of course, with an open date on the schedule. Texas men's and women's basketball with charity exhibition games this weekend. And Longhorn men's coach Chris Beard had a media availability yesterday and was talking about this. And the first thing he wanted folks to know this, because some folks might have thought, well, there's just barely over 10,000 people getting into the brand new Moody Center. There's no way I can get a ticket. Season ticket holders. No. This is not part of the season ticket package due to NCAA rules. Therefore, you can buy a ticket. There are still, I think, in the neighborhood of like 4,000 tickets or something like that left for this.
Tickets are available right now. Appreciate all y'all letting the fans know, letting Austin know, letting Central Texas know. It's on the Texas Ticket website. You can call the ticket office. They're available as we speak, is my understanding, or here in the next couple hours. $25 a seat. Appreciate our season ticket holders' understanding of this. It's an NCAA rule. It can't be a part of the season ticket package. Plus, we're proud to be chaired up with two local Austin Capital City charities that both help kids. Proceeds will go to those two charities. So we hope to accomplish a lot on Saturday. And one of the main priorities is to raise money for these two great causes Saturday. Appreciate the fans coming out. We look forward to a great crowd.
Yeah, all right. So that's just to let you know that there are tickets available for that. We'll hear more from Chris Beard later this hour on this particular matchup with the Arkansas Razorbacks. We'll have that coming up. So that's our Longhorn Notebook for this portion of this hour. We'll have another one coming up later on. But now it's time for the Supreme Lending Pick'em. And if I understood Jeff Howe correctly, you, Snoop Daniel, went winless on your NFL picks last week, right? And Jeff only got one. I mean, you guys had like a 1-4 week. It was not good, right?
No, Jeff went 3-0, and I have been like pretty trashy. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. So, so Jeff went 3-0 then.
Yeah, he did.
Okay. All right.
He has his three college picks.
Yes, he does. And so those three college picks that
Who do you have between Ohio State and Penn State?
He's got the Buckeyes taking that. I'm sure Keith Moreland would concur with that.
I would concur.
All right.
Kansas State and Okie State.
He's got the Wildcats winning at home. Of course, quarterbacks, health, a big part of this, whether Adrian Martinez can go and whether Spencer Sanders can
go, right? There's no doubt. If Martinez is available, I would say that is a really difficult place. The Longhorns are going to find out next week. I mean, it's a difficult place. If he can't go and they make them more two-dimensional, because they want to be one-dimensional and they want to run the football.
Yep.
And that's exactly what the Wildcats want to do. I would probably take Oklahoma State just because we don't know exactly who's going to take the snaps.
All right. Jeff's going with K-State. And then the third game.
Baylor, Texas Tech.
In Lubbock, on the South Plains.
I'll take the under.
You take the under, whatever that is, right?
Yeah. I'm just looking at that. I don't really know. That game is so – just look at the history of that game. So many times the favorite has struggled in that game.
Yep.
I mean, whoever that favorite may be, whether it be Baylor, whether it be the Red Raiders, the favorite has struggled.
Jeff is going with the Red Raiders. He thinks he'll beat Baylor out on the South Plains. So Jeff's three picks, Ohio State over Penn State, Kansas State over Oklahoma State, and Texas Tech over Baylor. Now we move to the National Football League.
Thank God I gave up gambling.
Yeah.
Because I would have lost a lot of money this year.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You know, you remind us quite frequently that you have given up gambling, but I'm not sure I'm completely convinced.
Well, every now and then I'll fall off the wagon for like a couple days, but nothing like crazy.
And then you get back on it?
Yep.
Okay.
But the demon is gone more than he's with me, so thank the Lord.
Well,
anyway, it is so fun, though. Like I said, there's nothing more fun than like being a good little boy and watching all your sports and all the research and numbers. You crunched it just to be wrong on Sunday. That's so heartbreaking.
Yeah.
So you lose money, too.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
So now, on to the National Football League and your two selections. First one? What do you got?
Giants.
All right, so the Giants are at Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And our man CB, by the way, has let us know that there's going to be heavy-duty storms up in the Pacific Northwest. So it's the Giants and the Seahawks.
It's more conducive for Seattle livers.
I don't know. What do you think?
I'm going to go Giants because they've been better than advertised. And aren't the Seahawks? Well, they're 4-3. That's better than what I thought they were.
Yeah.
I would have said they were like 2-6. But I'm going Giants.
Okay. All right. And then the other game? Niners and Rams. This is in Los Angeles. Rams coming off a bye. They've been beat up on the offensive line. San Francisco has been beat up on the defensive side, but they've added Christian McCaffrey as well. What's your thoughts on this?
I'm going with Uncle Craig's squad, the Rams.
You know, I think every time you pick the Rams to win, they lose.
Okay, you want me to pick the
Rams? I'm not advising you to make a choice either way.
But you're
because
right.
Because if you pick the Rams.
You're right.
And they, if you pick the 49ers and then the Rams win, you're going to say, hey, you talked me out. I'm not going to talk you out of anything.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go with the Rams because even with McCaffrey, he didn't make much of a difference. And maybe that's because the line is in shambles. And
yeah.
You only throw so many screens.
Yeah.
I'm not a football expert. But
yeah, okay. All right.
It's just my Madden.
Yeah,
knowledge.
I gotcha. So, in review, Jeff's three college picks, Ohio State over Penn State, Kansas State over Oklahoma State, Texas Tech over Baylor, and Snoop's two NFL picks, the Seahawks to fall to the Giants in Seattle. He's going with the Giants, and the Rams to beat the 49ers. There it is, your Supreme Lending Pick'em Challenge.
So be it.
Good luck to you guys. All right.
Amen and amen.
Yeah, there you go. All right.
I like your Giants pick, though. Running the ball in bad weather and with their quarterback who can really run the football and gets outside the pocket. Well, I like that pick if there's bad weather.
Yeah. Those of us who have Daniel Jones on their fantasy football teams are happy about that.
Yeah, I mean, you know?
So,
because he'll put it down and go.
Yeah. All right. I asked Keith to come down for a couple of reasons today. One of them, Keith got to work the high school football game with me last night. He'd been working games all season long with Roger Wallace and the KBVO televised big game every week. But I appreciate you being able to come over to Nelson Field because I know you love being out at the high school games. And all
oh,
that.
I do. High school football in Texas is a rite. You know, I'm not going to go as far to say it's a religion, but it's a rite.
Yeah, yeah. And I know it's brought up a lot of conversation. Folks asking about LBJ and the scores of the games and things like that. I'm not sure. I guess the best way to describe this is in all the years that I've been doing high school football games on radio, which is 40 years now, I'm not sure I've seen a team struggle the way that Eastside struggles, what Coach Becerra is trying to get built there. But it's going to take time. I mean, they had trouble understanding the signals, I think, that was coming in. Yeah. Where guys were running, not running a route, and a throw would go that way, and things like that.
Well, they've had a bevy of different people coming in and out and through the program. And the loss, just the sheer loss. They didn't have their leading rusher. There were so many things going on. But, I mean, I heard you on with Coach Finner earlier on the way in, listening, and he did everything he could possibly do in that game. I mean, I thought the sportsmanship, and you made the point, I think the thing that probably struck me more than anything was the drum line that lasted most of the fourth quarter when the two teams, bands and drill team and groups, were together, and a really special thing that happened on the LBJ side in the fourth quarter. That just shows the camaraderie of what was going on in that game. And he kept it from 100. I mean, because it could have been 150.
Yeah.
Easy.
Absolutely.
Very easy it could have been.
Absolutely. So, you know, there was, you know, it's a difficult situation for him to be in, although he's got a good football team. We know that they'll be a contender in 5A Division II, certainly in Region 4. And for folks who don't – or Region 3, for folks who don't realize this, they'd say, hey, you know, maybe LBJ and Liberty Hill would, you know, can meet up in the Sweet 16 or the quarterfinals. No, they wouldn't meet until the Final Four. Liberty Hill is in Region 4.
Yep.
LBJ's in Region 3. Now, there is a huge monster over in the greater Houston area, Fort Bend Marshall.
Yes.
That's been to three, I think, state championship games. Haven't won one yet, but they've been over there a lot. And LBJ would have to get through them first. And I think the computer, in fact, is picking in their how would they finish bracketing that comes out every week. Has LBJ going to the quarterfinals and falling to Fort Bend Marshall, who then beats Liberty Hill in the semifinals and then wins the 5A Division II state championship game. The computer has Fort Bend Marshall winning the
computer.
Thing. Yeah, see, you sit there and you say that about the computer. You said the computer is a jerk. What, the computer picked LBJ by 103.
That was pretty eerie.
I'm just telling you, the computer has no emotions. It has no feelings. It has no stake in anything. It just... all it is a projection based on numbers that are inputted. That's why. So you should not tell a computer to shut its mouth. It's important for us to understand what the computer is saying. That's all.
But it does. I like it just because it gives you an opportunity on teams. Craig is – I cover – and I love high school football, but I really cover from Belton to San Antonio. It's basically that area, and to get to know what's going on and what teams are good and what the good players are and teams, oh, I'd like to go see that team play. Maybe go see a six-man game, which I've done that as well. So I look at the computer, and it gives you an idea of what – not who's really favored. It's not a betting thing. It's more of this team should have the advantage. By this much. I mean, a little, you know, rather than that's the final score, even though it was really eerie yesterday when you told me that before the game, I went, yeah. Ooh, and then we got to the halftime, I went, ooh.
yeah, exactly. So anyway, that's so there's a couple of thoughts on some high school football. You've seen, obviously, the best 6A teams in the area this year. Who do you like?
Well, I think Vandergriff is a really good football team, and Westlake is Westlake. Let's just stay right there. They are the champions, so somebody takes it away from them. But on the backside of that, at Dripping Springs is a solid, solid football team who beat Vandy in the first game of the year. So look at that. And then the
if Vandegrift winds up going in the Division II bracket, and it all depends on whether Cedar Ridge gets in the playoffs.
Yep.
It's that simple. If Cedar Ridge finds a way to get in, Vandegrift will go back to Division II. And there are many who think that they could be headed on a collision course to meet up with Drip in the quarterfinals.
I think it's coming. I mean, it very easily could be. And then the other team in the area that I really like, and you and I have talked about this, I like the Georgetown Eagles. I really think that was a solid team that I got to see, and Boris has done a great job taking over when Griffin got hurt. And now Griffin's playing a lot in the slot, so they're doing a lot of different things. So I really like that football team. And then when you step down, you got to love LBJ and Liberty Hill. When you go down to that next level, I think both of them are contenders. I think both of them are getting healthy at the right time. Liberty Bill's getting one of their running backs back. And then you look at talking to Coach Finner last night before the game, he said, I got two guys that really we count on that are close. They were in uniform but not playing last night,
That's right. Yeah, Brandon Waits and should get Trey Young Henderson back, and also just around the corner from getting K.J. Houston back as well, so they could get three guys back from injury. So there's some things on that. All right, we need a break. When we come back, we have another Longhorn Notebook, and we're going to talk some baseball. We'll keep talking about this World Series between the Astros and the Phillies, which begins tonight. When we continue with Light the Tower on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. We're live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Hey, it's Bucky. With my bad back, getting the right support has always been my top priority, and that's why I love Relax the Back.
Light the Tower.
We welcome you back here to Light That. What are you playing here? Which fight song is this?
No, it's actually the Monty Python's Flying Circus.
Oh, it is, isn't it? Yeah, that's right. It made me think it's a college fight song.
I caught it right away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm a flying circus, so.
Yeah, there you
Touché.
Go. All right. I tell you what, before we talk some baseball, let's get into our next Longhorn Notebook. Longhorn Notebook brought to you by Aaron Bowersock, the home loan expert. Check her out on the web. She's your Longhorn lender as well, she'll tell you, at BowersockTeam.com. Okay, earlier this half hour, Chris Beard was talking about the tickets being available, and there are about 4,000 tickets available for that exhibition. We are talking about the number 10 team in the country, Arkansas, against the number 12 team in the country, Texas. And Coach Beard, at his media availability yesterday, was talking about the challenge he expects to get from the Razorbacks.
They have a lot of length and athleticism. They're a team that it's kind of hard to tell who's the point guard and who's the power forward. They're all long and athletic. They're a team that can switch a lot on defense and play different ways, so very similar to a lot of the teams that we'll have to play through in our non-conference and certainly in the Big 12, no doubt about it. Coach Muss's teams always have an identity of playing extremely hard. We played his teams at Nevada. We played his teams since he's been at Arkansas. We played him in the NCAA tournament 1 year, so we know they're going to play extremely hard. We know they're going to be really diverse on defense. And then offensively, they do a lot of good stuff, a lot of kind of NBA basketball, ISOs and actions, and they move the ball, and they're a team that values passing. So it's going to test our team a lot. In an exhibition game format, obviously the scoreboard's going to be on, but probably more important to us is taking the next step before the regular season starts. So we'll try to get different guys in this game. We'll try to play different combinations. We'll try to learn about ourselves while competing against Arkansas, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense. And there are tickets available, like I said. If you have not experienced the brand new beautiful Moody Center, have you been in the new arena yet,
Kim? I haven't.
Okay.
So this is going to be this will be my first opportunity.
All right. So tickets available there, and all of the proceeds are going to the two charitable foundations that they're working with on that. That's Saturday. Of course, tomorrow we will also broadcast game. It's not televised. It is not a Longhorn Network. It's not televised tomorrow. You can hear it here on the Horn. We'll be on the air at 2:30 and the tip-off at 3 o'clock. The Texas women play Sunday against DePaul, and all of the proceeds from that going to Robb Elementary and the rebuilding there in Uvalde. And so, and Vic Schaefer, by the way, I believe has pledged $1,000 to match every 1,000 tickets sold on that. And so has Buzz Williams, the A&M men's coach. They're old friends. So he's
pretty impressive.
So that was pretty cool for him to do that as well. That is a 2 o'clock game.
That's a pretty good basketball team coming in, too.
Yeah, and added more intrigue on that. Sonya Morris, who averaged 18 points per game last year for DePaul, is a grad transfer for Texas now. She's going to team up in the backcourt with Rory Harmon. They're going to be really, really good. So third-ranked Texas against DePaul, Sunday afternoon, 2 o'clock. Hope you can make it to the arena. And we will also have the broadcast on 105.3 The Bat. All right, so there's your Longhorn Notebook. How about a Flex 30 update?
Flex ATX for the best high school sports coverage. Listen to the horn and go to FLXATX.com. Flex 30 is brought to you by Brain Vault. Brain Vault is a revolutionary and patented mouth guard that has been proven to help reduce the risk of concussion. Visit BrainVault.com and join the movement.
Keith Moreland, if you had one game here in the greater Austin, Central Texas area tonight to attend, which game would that be?
Probably, just looking tonight, it would be Round Rock.
Round Rock against Cedar Ridge.
Yeah, I think that has some intrigue to it. If Cedar Ridge can find a way to get a good start in that game.
Yep, absolutely.
Needs a good positive start.
Snoop, would that be yours, or do you have another one?
Yeah, because Cedar Ridge is back against the wall. Carlos Jackson was one of my top five players, 800 rushing yards for the Raiders. But also, Vista Ridge taking on Vandegrift. I know the Vipers are going to be heavily favored, but
I think that's another game. If Vista finds a way to get off in that game and get some start and get some momentum, I think that could be a lot closer game than people think.
This is going to be a weird thing for people to hear, but I'm going to say this because this falls within the context of the whole point differential and the tiebreaker thing. Because Vista Ridge, Cedar Ridge, and Manor are all at zero level on the tiebreak, meaning they got the maximum points in the head-to-head against one another for wins and took the maximum loss, which is a 13-point ceiling anyway. So they're a net zero, Vista Ridge, Manor, and Cedar Ridge in the round robin all against one another. So that's even. So it would have to go to a next-level tiebreaker, which I've never seen before in a multi-tiered tiebreak, if Vista Ridge loses both tonight to Vandegrift, which you can hear on 101.9 and AM 1260, and loses next week at home on their senior night to Round Rock, and Cedar Ridge loses to Round Rock, because then they all would have all gone 0-2 against Vandegrift and Round Rock. Now you go to the point differential for the entire amount of district games.
Right.
Right now as it stands, Vista Ridge is at a plus 21, but they haven't played Vandegrift or Round Rock yet. Manor is a plus 16, Cedar Ridge is a plus 16, I believe it is. No, it's Manor at a plus 16, and Cedar Ridge is at a plus 13. So there's still all of that to sort out right now. So here's the weird thing that I'm going to say. It is very important that Vista Ridge not get blown out in either of these last two games.
They got to stay in the ballgame.
If they stay in the ballgame, they have a chance through the tiebreak. Remember, Cedar Ridge got blown out in its two games, or in its one game against Vandegrift last week, 29-7. I say blown out. They hit
more
the maximum.
Yeah.
And they play Round Rock tonight. So it's very important for them not to lose by more than 12 and preferably less than that if they can. So there's that. But the key also, Manor lost to Round Rock by 10, 17-7. That one game may wind up flipping it. One way or the other. So keep an eye on those things tonight. Here's another thing to keep in mind about Manor. Word's already gotten out about it. Quintalen Joyner suspended for the rest of the year, their quarterback. Quentin Joyner suspended for the first half of tonight's game against Westwood for throwing a punch last week during the game. There's a couple of defensive players, I think, also who may be on the sideline tonight.
Dude, I said y'all got to watch for Westwood because they're playing just for pride.
So we'll see what happens. So there's some absences from the Manor lineup tonight. And so we'll see how that goes tonight against Westwood. So that's just a couple of things to keep in mind on that. All right. By the way, two other games I think are worth keeping track of tonight. In LBJ's district in 12-5-AD2, you got Crockett and Northeast.
Yes.
Big game there.
Yep.
Because that could be between third and fourth.
Seeding, yeah.
Yeah,
seeding.
Because McCallum's probably going to finish second.
Who's going to play Belton?
Yeah. Well, Belton will play the four seed.
Oh.
That would be the four because Belton's going to win that district. So now you're talking about Elgin, Waco U, and the winner of the Rouse Pflugerville game as the other three playoff teams there. Elgin's probably going to finish second, and Waco U is probably going to finish third.
Yep.
So that's important to keep in mind there. And then the other game I mentioned earlier, Granger-Milano. Big game, big road trip for Granger.
That, how about that district just as a whole?
Just
my
brutal,
word.
Isn't it?
Every week you go, oh, well, here we go.
And Chilton is still unbeaten.
Yeah.
And next week Granger has to go and play Chilton. So, yeah, it's that's important too. So, anyway, all right, there it is. There's your Flex 30 update.
All right, this District 13 2A D2.
That's exactly right. 13 2A Division 2. Thorndale, by the way, with a week off. There's a couple of weird bye weeks involving some area schools this week.
Including Llano, who's 9-0.
Llano,
Bastrop's even totally off next week. They have week 10.
They're done. 10 straight weeks straight through, and then they're done. So, and then like I said, you have other teams with bye weeks this week. Thorndale is one of those.
Anderson has this week off.
Anderson has an open date this week. So those late season bye weeks.
Yeah.
All right. There it is. I want to talk some baseball here with Keith Moreland. And Phillies and Astros, first time they will have met in the postseason since 42 years ago.
Oof.
1980 National League Championship Series when Keith Moreland, in his, what, third major league season?
It was actually my second.
Playing for the Philadelphia Phillies in one of the most memorable postseason series, no matter whether you're talking division series, LCS, or World Series of all time, that five-game heart pounder between the Astros and Phillies was something else.
Guys, you can't imagine. I mean, the Phillies, obviously, I had gotten there. We hadn't won the division the year before, but 76, 77, 78, the Phillies had gotten right there, and the Dodgers had the Reds, the big red machine, had just eaten them up. Never really a chance. And so we felt really good, and then we ended up winning the Eastern Division of the National League in Montreal the weekend before on Saturday to clinch. So we went to the next to the last day of the season to clinch. It starts on Tuesday. We get them at home, and we have a nail biter, a really one-run or two-run game, maybe 3-1, something like that, as I remember. And then we had a lead in game two, and we had Ron Reed and Tug McGraw in the bullpen. We didn't blow many leads, and the Astros came back and won that in extra innings. So we go to Houston having to win 2 out of 3 in Houston. It didn't look good. And then we get to game five. We find a way to
Game three was this incredible 1-0, 11-inning game.
Oh, all the games were in extra innings for the rest of the time.
After game one. Game one was 3-1.
Right. And then the next four were extra innings.
Wow. 7-4 Astros in 10 innings game two. 1-0 Astros in game three. Phillies win game four. 5-3 in 10 innings, and then it gets to this climactic fifth game.
Yeah, I mean, you look up, we really didn't get anything going because one of the best pitchers in the history of the sport, Nolan Ryan's on the mound, and he's dealing. And so you look up, we're down 5-2 as we go to the top of the eighth inning, and miraculously we find a way to take a 2-run lead, and here come the Astros right back to tie it. So, now we go extra innings and we find a way in the 11th to win it. And one of the most incredible, heart-wrenching and exciting moments for me being a Texan to come back home and to be here and to be in the playoffs and then, qualify for the first World Series that we fortunately went on to win was something special. And so it makes it's really exciting. I would love to see the Phillies win, but on the backside of that, it's a difficult answer. You've heard me answer this already.
I'm going to get you to hold that answer for a moment because I want to go back to this 1980 thing for a second for folks who didn't know this. In that game five, with top of the eighth, the Phillies are behind 5-2. Nolan Ryan is facing the 7, 8, 9 hitters.
Yep.
Larry Boa leads off with a single. Bob Boone, it's a single to pitcher. Was it a comebacker?
He hit a comebacker that ricocheted off of Nolan's glove, and with Nolan's finish, when he got through finishing, it was hard for him to get back. He knocked it down, sort of stumbled, couldn't get an out. So now it's first and second and nobody out.
Greg Gross then drops a bunt base hit.
Perfect bunt up the third baseline. He was an excellent bunter, and that loaded the bases. Enos Cabell had moved over. He was playing first, and they lost a player Cesar Cedeno got hurt in one of the games, so he's no longer available. So they had to move around their defense a little bit, and Cabell let it roll. It stayed fair. So now they're loaded, and Pete Rose is coming to the plate.
Pete Rose, and then at that point, Bill Verdon's the manager.
Yeah.
All right. Goes to the bullpen and removes Nolan Ryan, brings in Joe Sambito.
Nolan walks Pete Rose on a 3-2 pitch
to score Larry Boa. Boone goes to third, Gross to second. Pete goes to first. So now it's 5-3. At that point, the Astros go to the bullpen. Joe Sambito comes out of the bullpen, and Dallas Green, the Phillies manager, counters with Keith Moreland. Yeah. How old were you?
25.
25-year-old Keith Moreland goes to the plate with the bases loaded and nobody out with his team down 5-3. Now, what's going through your mind when you see Sambito coming out of the bullpen?
Well, I had faced Joe and knew Joe, and I thought he would start me with a slider, and he did for a strike, but it was a pitch that I wasn't going to be able to hit. And then the other thing is, it's that I'm trying to go the other way right there. The one thing we didn't need is I couldn't run out of a double play, so I was going to make sure I hit a ball that wasn't a double play. So I said, he's going to throw me a fastball away, and I went with it the other way. Hit it fairly well, but it took the second baseman off, so he didn't have a chance to get an out at double play. But they got the out at second, and I get an RBI, and then I was lifted for a pinch runner. So
yeah,
that's how it happened.
That's what it says here. So. And by the way, you were batting for Bake McBride.
Yeah, I pinch it for Bake.
So Boone scores, Gross to third, Force out at second. So then Ken Forsch comes in to replace Joe Sambito. They have to do the double switch because of the batting order. Rafael Landestoy comes in to replace Joe Morgan.
Yep.
At that point.
Forsh gets a big out right here.
Yeah, and then Ramon Aviles pinch runs for you.
Right.
Okay, so then Forsh strikes out Mike Schmidt looking.
Yes, he did. I mean, that big out at the time. I mean, it's a 5-4 ball game now.
And With
two outs. I mean, well, there's one out. Runners at first and third, and Mike Schmidt, the MVP of the league that year. And Forsh comes out and makes a great pitch and punches him out.
Next up is Dell Unser.
Big hit.
Unser comes up with a base hit to right to score Gross to tie the score, and Aviles goes to second base. And then Manny Trio, a triple into the left field corner?
Yeah, right down the third baseline. Cabell dives, misses it, and the old dome at the time had it came in a little bit, but then it had an area of about 3 feet to the foul line. And so as a left fielder, because I played a little outfield in sometimes too besides catch, you had to go work on it because if it caught that corner, it would ricochet back in. So you really couldn't sprint to the corner to go get it. Well, the ball missed that curve on the corner, and Chao, Jose Cruz Sr., had to wait to go in to get it, and then that allowed Manny to round to third, and all of a sudden we had a lead.
And then at that point, Gary Maddox then retired on the fly ball. So then the Astros come back. They get RBI singles from Landestoy and from Chao Cruz.
Yes, they did.
To tie the score. And then finally he gets into the 10th inning. Gary Maddox off Frank LaCourt, an RBI double to score Dell Unser. And then you got Dick Ruffin getting a 1-2-3 bottom of the 11th inning.
Yeah, we were down to – Dick was one of our starting pitchers and had not pitched in relief all season long, but we had to find a way. And then Maddox makes a great running catch in right center with a chance for a tying runs or on base.
Wow. So that's how it ends, and it's crazy. And so this is the first time they will have played since then. So how about your thoughts on this series?
Well, first of all, I'm going to start with everybody's going to say, well, you're rooting for the Phillies. Well, yeah, I would love to see the Phillies win, but Dusty Baker is one of the really close friends I have in the game. I've spent a lot of time with Dusty. I've known him for most of my adult life, and he doesn't have a ring, and that's just amazing to me. The man's won more than 2,000 games as a manager. He's done an outstanding job everywhere he's been as a manager, and he was the perfect choice with what was taking place with the Astros after the I don't even know what you want to call it, the trash can incident.
The scandal.
Yeah. He was the right guy to bring in that sport with his integrity and things that he brings to the table. So I'd love to see him win. So my thoughts is I hope it goes 7 games and the Astros win in the bottom of the 14th in game 7.
So you are rooting for the Astros to win it.
Yeah, and I'd want the Phillies to play well. And
on a walk-off homer, did you say in the bottom of the 14th?
In bottom of the 14th. That way we get to see a lot of baseball. And it's back and forth and nobody knows who's going to win. Because both of these crowds, too, that's the other thing, that if you're a baseball fan, you're going to see two really intense crowds, two different types of crowds. But the ballpark in Houston, you and I have worked in it. It's very conducive to having the noise be there, especially if we have some rain days, because if the roof's closed, it can be a really intimidating place to play. And then on the other side, when you go to Citizens Bank, it may not be called that anymore. It may have changed.
I think it still is.
But if you go to Citizens Bank, it is intense for especially the outfielders and the bullpens, because the outfield is really drawn in on top of the players, and Philly fans will be hopping, trust me.
Who has the better pitching staff?
Well, I think the bullpen for the Phillies is their strength, and I think that might be the weakness for the Astros a little bit. I think starting pitching probably goes, other than Wheeler, yeah. I think, I kind of like the Astros starters better than the – now, Wheeler is – you better scratch one out early, because if he gets to the third inning and he's got his stuff, look out.
Were you surprised that Rob Thompson did not go with Wheeler in game one, that he's going with Nola?
I was really surprised by that. I don't know what he's thinking about, you know, where they come back down the line. What are you looking at? Guys who start the first year are going to get two starts.
Yep.
So, it's front or back of that. It's whichever you want to look at that. Now, the guy that starts game three is game 7.
Right.
So that's the one that for me too. That's the other one you look at it. Who's your game 3 guy, and he'll be game 7 guy.
All right. Hey, I appreciate you coming by and doing this.
Hey, man, I had a blast.
We'll be back to wrap it up today's edition of Life.
Bush, Houston, Texas.
Okay, before we leave, Keith Moreland, somebody on the Specs text line with an incredibly important question. Was Bake McBride's fro as spectacular in real life as it appeared under the hat on TV?
I forgot to hit my button, and no doubt it was. And the other thing is, and Snoop will enjoy this, not greasy.
Oh, really? It was natural.
It was just natural.
Yeah, that's good to not, you know, less product is good.
Yeah, I mean, he just, you know, Bake, the incredible thing was we thought he had super glue in it because he did not wear an ear flap helmet. Yeah. He's one of the few guys that went to the plate to face Nolan Ryan without an ear flap on, but he'd stick his hard hat on top of it and stay there when he's running and all. It's hard to believe.
That's great. Hey, thanks for coming in
today.
Hey,
man, I had a blast.
All right, stay tuned. Chad and Zay are up next. We'll visit with you Monday morning. Next time, I'll light the Tower on the Horn.
Like sports, business is about